Master Higgins.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Fiani. It's a pleasure being here, listening to the people of God, just giving thanks to our Lord and Savior, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, the Keeper of our faith, the one in whom we live, and Amen. Even of our very existence. It's good to be here. Good to be here sharing worship with you, focusing upon the God who is there and who alone is worthy to be worshipped.
Yes.
This morning, I am going to quote just a verse. I won't sing, but there's a song that's because we are always moving. God is never still. God is always on the move.
Amen.
And with his people, because he declared that I build my church. Yes. If you notice, he didn't say I build my church. I build my church. There's one church built by God alone. And we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the song just came, just the word. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, regardless of what's going on around us. What God has put in action cannot be thwarted, it cannot be hindered, it cannot be sidetracked. Nothing can stop the movement of God marching until the culmination of time when God himself returns. But we as fellowship believers here say, come ye that love the Lord. And let your joys be known.
Amen.
Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. We are marching to Zion.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And it says in verse 3, the hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred streets. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, I walk the golden streets. We are marching to Zion. Along the way, it might seem as if things are sidetracked, but we who are God's people are in his protective plan. Nothing can stop us from our destiny. And yesterday, I was listening to a preacher, and I heard this, and maybe you've heard it, but I'm going to leave this with you, saints of God. A lot of people fear the devil. But the destiny of the devil is this. He won't be the warden in hell. He will only be an inmate. Let that sink in. The devil who is doing so much today and driving fear in people is destiny. He will not be in charge of anything in hell. He will only be an inmate in hell. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. When I heard that, I said, wow. Mm-hmm. Look at God. God who created him is going to derank him and going to put him in his place.
Yes.
So he won't be calling any shots in hell. Mm-hmm. He will be an inmate forever in hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
Yes. It's just a joy to be able to share the things of God. And the passage I looked at is actually Genesis 1, verse 1, and Genesis 1, 26, and Matthew 28, 20. But that's all right, because Matthew 8 is telling us, even as I listen, that our preparation and our Heavenly Father's preparation is not down here. But God has gone to prepare a place for us. But in Matthew in Genesis 1, verse 1, the Word of God tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God, in this opening verse, came on the scene. God, the uncaused cause, because there was nothing else that could be said. In the beginning, as far as human beings are concerned, we know that we can't understand, we can't even cope with it. With the understanding that is necessary to know where were things before God. We can't comprehend that, but we know that in the beginning, Elohim, the God in plural form, the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, declared that there had to be a foundation laid, and they created the heaven and the earth. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Deciding that the masterpiece of God, and what is the masterpiece of God? The masterpiece of God is mankind.
Amen. Amen.
And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came and declared that none would subdue the earth and have dominion in the earth. And in the dispensation of all of this, what has happened is that God himself has taken upon himself to provide for mankind and to rescue mankind from the error of our own ways. Because the masterpiece of God is really human beings. Hallelujah. But what has happened all through the years is that sin has taken a toll on man. But don't worry, because God is still in control.
Amen. Amen.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And let's look at what happened. God came and formed man out of the dust of the earth. He formed man, and man was there, formed from head to toe. But man was not finished yet. So God breathed in man. That lump of clay that was formed before him, known as mankind hereafter, was there but couldn't function until God breathed in man the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Why? Because the life of God was deposited in man, and that lump of clay got up and began to function from that day until this day, because the Spirit of God was sent to him. And wherever the Spirit of God is, up until this moment, there is life. And wherever the Spirit of God leaves, up until this moment, if the Spirit of God leaves, death comes. But where the Spirit of God is on display, no death can operate.
Praise God.
Glory to God. The Holy Spirit and human spirit are intertwined. When the Bible spells the word Spirit with a capital S, it is speaking of the deity of the Holy Spirit. When it uses the lowercase s, it is speaking of the human spirit. The lower case is used for spirit language because it is our redeemed and Holy Spirit baptized human spirit that is doing the praying. God is working on us. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because the Spirit of God enters into man. And man is changed immediately into a child of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are really, really what we are here to talk about today and to encourage each other with, so that we will know without a shadow of a doubt we are not alone. The Godhead is with us. The gift of each of the members of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are one. The Bible says, but there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, the Word, it was made flesh, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one, according to 1 John 5:7. This reveals that whenever we speak of God as the Father, or the Son, or the Holy Spirit, we are talking about the same nature, attributes, power, and love, all that God is, all three are. God is a giver, hallelujah, and he always gives his best. Each member of the Godhead gave his greatest possible gift to mankind. So we ask, why did God do it? We are really asking, why did each of them give the gift he gave? Each gift was given with the same love and motivation for the benefit of the one receiving the gift. And it is the best and greatest gift that could possibly be given. Father God's gift, his Son, was his best for the world. Jesus, the Son's gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, was the best he could possibly give. And the Holy Spirit's gift, hallelujah, the gift of the spiritual language, was the best gift that, and greatest gift for the individual. God the Father's gift. Father God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in his Son, Jesus Christ, would receive everlasting life. John 3:16. Father God gave his Son as a gift for the redemption of the world. Why did he do it? Why does God do what he does? The answer is because God is love. The love of God is a giving love. True divine love gives its best. God the Father so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, who was nearest and dearest to the heart of God. There was not a greater gift from his whole being and eternal universe that God could give. For God to give Jesus was to give himself. God's past, present, and future was centered in the Son, Jesus, was the fulfillment of all God's desires of earth. Praise God. We need to understand that we are not here by chance. Nothing just happens. Everything has been orchestrated and preordained to occur by God himself, the creator of heaven and earth. The I am that I am, the triune God, triumphantly came on the scene, created a beginning. Remember now that God is without time. God is eternal. God is the eternal being. But in order for mankind to understand the infinite God, that to do something in a finite manner, where beginning and ending are God functions, but we will not comprehend, we cannot comprehend our ability to understand what God is doing for us. We, no wonder the Bible tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. We cannot understand, even if we begin to think about it logically, this is beyond logic, what God has done for us through the gift of God, which is eternal life, through the Son that was given, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, was given so that mankind, whosoever will, may come, because the provision for salvation was given at the decision of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that man would be redeemed. What the Father knows, the Son knows. What the Son knows, the Holy Spirit knows. Their function, but there are manifestations that come uniquely for them. And even today, there has been all this discussion about the Godhead, about the Trinity and all those things. But one thing we know, that the God of truth, the God who created, the God who loved us, the God who saved us, the God who has kept us, the God who has protected us, the God who knows us by name and measure, the God who gave us DNA, the God who gave us fingerprints, the God who is there and is not silent, because the heaven declare the glory of God and the permanent chosen and world. This same God has manifested himself in a manner of loving and caring and protecting us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ, the gift of all gifts, died for us. And the invitation of all times was given to us. Whoever will, whosoever will, may come. What a mighty God we serve. However, nothing is more important to the Father than his masterpiece creation of mankind. So with all this, but the whom he created in his own image and likeness. Adam was God's created son, of whom God formed with his own two hands, then breathed into him the breath of life. But Jesus was Father God's only begotten son, the only human being born into this world who was fathered personally by God himself. God gave his only begotten son for the reconciling of the world. Bible tells us God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. The gift that God gave was his only begotten son, and his gift was given for the redemption of mankind and all creation. And Jesus accepted the role as being gifted for us. The Bible says in the word of God, sacrifice and burnt offering, the word of not, but a body you have given me, law. I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus willingly did the Father's will and became the Lamb of God, slain for the foundation, for the redemption of mankind. The Bible does not talk about Jesus loving the world, but about him loving the church. Hallelujah. The scripture declares that Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church. Ephesians 5:25-27. Jesus loved the church more than he loved life itself. Hallelujah. For he gave his life's blood to purchase the church, shepherd the church of God, which Jesus purchased with his own blood, the Bible tells us in Acts 20:28. We are called to be caretakers, we who have participated in the blessings of God through the redemption of the Son, Jesus Christ. We are called now to be protectors of this which God has enabled us to be a part of. by the shedding of his own blood. When the scripture says that Christ Jesus died to save sinners, we need to know that this, that his main motivation was not just to save them from hell and make them ready for heaven, but to make them members of his corporate body on earth. While Jesus was on earth, his body was the dwelling place and headquarters of God. The body of Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and then seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. Jesus then gave the Holy Spirit to the church. The Holy Spirit was commissioned to birth the church on the day of Pentecost. He was then said to convict men of sin and draw them to Jesus to become members of the body of Christ, the church. God so loved the world that he gave his son for its redemption. Jesus so loved the church that he gave himself on the cross to purchase the church with his own blood. He then gave the Holy Spirit to his church to convict of sin, convert to Christ, empower and enlighten members of the body of Christ, and keep purifying and perfecting until it presented unto Christ a glorious, hallelujah, and victorious church. Then we have the coup de grace, God the Holy Spirit. We see the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But now the dispensational on earth here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives to a Christian believer is the divine ability to pray in a supernatural language of the Spirit. This divine gift of speaking in an unknown language is the divinely given ability to pray in a language that has never, that was never learned by natural means. It is an experience received when God baptizes a Christian redeemed and born again spirit with the ability to pray in an intelligent language that his or her natural mind did not learn and does not understand or comprehend. It is not a naturally learned ability, but a supernaturally imparted ability. It is not emotional gibberish, meaningless songs, or hollow expressions. When they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, many individuals experience great ecstasy in their souls and spirit. The speaking in tongues does not come from being ecstatic, yet it can produce ecstatic feelings, which is the fruit of the Spirit called joy and the zeal of the Lord of hosts. The divine spirit language is a real and intelligent as one's learned native language. It is an unknown tongue language to the one speaking, but it is not unknown to God. It may be a language known and spoken by some of the people on earth, but the majority of the time, it is a heavenly language. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul used the term tongues of men and of angels and declared that when he prayed in tongues, his spirit was praying, but his natural mind did not understand or comprehend what was being spoken. 1 Corinthians 13:1 and 1 Corinthians 14:14. The gift is for all believers till the end of time. While Jesus was on earth with his disciples, he declared to them, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John 14:16-17. Jesus, hallelujah, revealed that he was going to send the Holy Spirit with a new experience for them, as the Holy Spirit was with them now. He would be in them. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told the disciples, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1:5. So God came and Jesus finished. He came where he had the Holy Spirit with us. But he ascended where he put the Holy Spirit in us. So we then, with us before and in us now since the baptism, and all because of Jesus Christ. About 120 of the followers of Jesus Christ went back to Jerusalem to fulfill the commandment of Jesus Christ. Tarry, you shall receive power. You shall be witnesses. Acts 1:8. They gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem to wait for the promise of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. 7 days later, God's appointed time arrived. In the early morning, on the day of the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, as the disciples began praising God that morning, the Holy Spirit suddenly came like a mighty wind.
Hallelujah.
And it was tongues of fire that set the believers. Glory to God. Tongues ablaze. They began speaking in unknown tongue as they received the gift of their spirit language. They all began to speak in tongue and continued for quite a while. Hallelujah. After a period of time, Peter stopped speaking in this unknown tongue and began to speak in the native language of the Hebrew to the multitude who were gathered there. To behold the wonder of what God was doing through the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of Jews had gathered at Jerusalem for many nations to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Peter explained to them how the Jews in Jerusalem had crucified Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit is bold, and although you're among enemies, Peter was not afraid to speak exactly that which would catch them where they were sensitive and where they were pretentious. He said, Jesus, Jerusalem had crucified, the Jews of Jerusalem had crucified Jesus of Nazareth, who was their promised Messiah. The Jews asked what they must do to get right with God and receive the wonderful gift that the disciples had received. Peter told them that if they would repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Saints of God, this is exactly what the formula is today. God has not changed. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday and today and forever. We must preach the gospel according to the directive of God. Ye must be born again, Jesus said. They could also receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off. Acts 2:39. Scripture declares that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for every Christian believer during the whole age of the mortal church. We today are almost 2,000 plus years after that time, but the gift is still for every present day believer. Jesus and Peter declared that the only condition to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit were to believe and obey Jesus. Proclaim, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this is for concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not glorified. So you see, the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. God works according to his own calendar and in the fullness of time. Whose time? His time. Because God, who created time, will one day declare that time is no more, and that time, saints of God, Only those who are in will be in, and there will be no more ability to be saved either those. So that's why God tells us in His word, we should occupy until He comes. What is the occupation? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing. Peter and the other apostles preaching of the Jews said that, and we are His witnesses and saints of God. We who are Gentile Christians today are His witnesses. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. May God enable us